He's feeling a little under the weather. He said nothing COVID, but he's been working at breakneck speed to get back into his house. And I think maybe he was just burning the candle from both ends a bit. So he was running a fever and just not feeling well. And fortunately, I had a little something outlined and got the call yesterday. So you're stuck with me for one more week. But I hope everyone has been noticing, you know, as we've been singing some of these Christmas songs, how some of the themes that we've been talking about over the last few weeks, how a lot of those themes emerge in the Christmas songs. I particularly liked, you know, when we were singing Hark the Herald Angels, you know, sing, we got to that one verse where it says, born that man no more may die, born to give them second birth. You know, and these are some of the themes particularly that we talked about and emphasized a bit last week when we were talking about prophecy. So this week, continuing with some of the traditional Advent themes, we're going to talk this week about peace. And Dave will have one more message coming back in January 2nd. And I believe he plans to talk about joy. So you've got a little bit more to go on this series. But today we're going to talk about peace. So one of the verses that we had last week was in Isaiah chapter 9. And it says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. You know, I played some of the music from the Messiah, which I find particularly rousing, you know, where they sing, wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. One of the titles that's included in this verse in Isaiah is Prince of Peace. So Jesus will come and he will give the world peace. So peace, I think, is again one of those concepts, one of those words that we use. It's a very common term. It's a very common word. And if we kind of unpack it a little bit, if we unwrap it and we think a little bit about what peace actually means, it can be extremely meaningful to us, especially at this time of year. Just to finish up in Isaiah 9, it says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And the verse ends with the phrase or the sentence, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish it. And I wanted just to pause on that note just for a second, that God, Father, God has zeal for his plan. Think of zeal, right? What does zeal mean? It means that you're invested in something, that you're engaged in something. In one of the more modern paraphrased translations, The Voice, that last sentence is rendered, the intense passion of the eternal commander of armies will carry this to completion. God has his plan, as we discussed last week, that was revealed in the very foundation in Genesis and goes through to the book of Revelations, where Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God has a plan for mankind, and it is his zeal, it is his passion that will carry this to completion. So, peace. Thinking a little bit more about peace. What does that mean to you? Is peace simply the cessation of war. It's a word that is used in the context of politics, the United Nations, world leaders. They talk about peace as something that's highly desirable, that we want. We want this for the world. But what exactly do we mean by peace? Back in 1963, President Kennedy gave a speech at American University, and he talked about peace. Now, back in 1963, well, and then if he was assassinated, of course, not too long after that, I was just a wee lad back then. And about my only memory from all of that is that I was greatly annoyed that my cartoons weren't on TV. But President Kennedy said something that was indeed, I think, very meaningful. And you can hear it now in his own words.
What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Not a Pax Americana, enforced in the world by American weapons of war. Not the peace of the grain, or the security of the slave. I'm talking about genuine peace, the kind of peace that makes life on earth worth living, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope and build a better life for their children. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women. Not merely peace in our time, but peace in all time.
And that family will be accomplished by the zeal of the Lord of hosts. I think it's so interesting that he says, what kind of peace? He says, not the peace of the grave. You know, how often do we say after someone has departed this earth that they rest in peace? Do we just mean the cessation of war? Or do we mean something that is inside of us, something that is deep, and something that is meaningful? So this has been a very stressful week for me. So most of you probably know that I run some sports facilities, right? We have people who come in and they play tennis and they play field sports and they do different things. And with the new mandate that came out this week, I have felt anything but peace this week, right? Trying to get people who are coming into the building to wear a face mask, it's like the proverbial herding of cats. And any of you who've owned a cat know what that is like, trying to get a cat to do what you want it to do. But in the context of what God is doing, in the context of the zeal that God has for bringing his plan to completion, I don't miss a wink of sleep over that. I have total peace, and I wish that all of us could have total peace and confidence in what God is doing, in the work that he's doing. So President Kennedy's very enlightened words give us a sense of what mankind wants. Nobody really wants war, but everyone is willing to go to war when things don't go their way. But for us, family, as Christians, we can be totally at peace all the times. Even if I'm stressed out for the week because of what's going on in the world around me and I'm kind of waiting to see if the other shoe drops and what happens next, you know, with regard to that. But as far as Jesus coming into the world, as far as Jesus returning as far as everything that we've seen and talked about over the last few weeks in terms of hope, in terms of having real, steadfast hope and knowing, and then seeing the prophecies that we can understand in 2020 hindsight about the first coming of Jesus, and then have that hope that empowers us to see those prophecies of the second coming of Jesus, and how we can be so certain in our hearts that God will bring all of that to completion. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice," Philippians chapter 4, "rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." That's what it's all about, family. That's what it's all about. It's about being settled. It's about being settled and being at peace in the hope and the knowledge of everything that has been given to us in God's Word. Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossians, "And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him," "and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." It is that act, it is that totally selfless act, Christ slain since the foundation of the earth, that brings it full circle, that rips the veil in two, that eliminates the separation between man and God. It is that blood that was shed for all of us, and indeed for all of mankind, that makes peace between man and God. I want you to notice, family, how many times in the New Testament Paul gives a salutation of grace and peace. It's 17 times between Paul, between Peter, and between John in the book of Revelation. There are 17 salutations and greetings that begin with or contain grace and peace. How important then is that? When Paul was writing to these various churches in Asia Minor, he would always start with that phrase. For example, in Romans, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." To the Corinthians, same thing, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians, Colossians, "To God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you." And it just goes throughout the entire New Testament, this phrase of grace and peace. So if there were two things that Paul wanted people to sort of dwell on, there were two things that he wanted to call to people's attention, to bring to the fore, it was grace and peace. That was his salutation. That's how he started his letters and his messages to the churches that had been established in the first century. And I think we can understand why Paul would dwell on those two particular things. There was a lot of persecution. We talked a little bit about it in the message on hope, about what it was like to live under the rule and the rod of the Romans. And then, even after Christ's death, Christianity was considered a sect, was considered something that was not beneficial to the state. And people had to go underground, and they had to be very careful about where they met and what they said. And it took a long time before those kind of mass persecutions died out. So in his greeting that Paul is giving to them, he's reminding them first that they've been given grace by God, that they've been forgiven of their sins, that they've been brought into a relationship with God, and that their eternity, that their relationship with God is cemented in grace, and that they can never lose that grace. But he also wants them to have a sense of inner peace. So no matter what's happening around you, family, no matter what is happening in your life, I pray that you can dwell on the words of Paul about grace and peace, and that you can understand what he is talking about here, and that in this season you can think about grace and you can think about peace and you can let your heart be filled with both of those things. So I hope, we started with hope, that you have been able to hear the prophecies of the first coming and the second coming, and that not only today and not only throughout this season, but all the time, that your being can be filled with that sense of peace and security. Please join me in prayer. So, Father, we're very grateful and we're very thankful for all that you do in our lives. We're so grateful that you had a plan from the foundation of the earth for our salvation and indeed the salvation of all mankind. We have all gone astray and we need you, Father. We need you to be in our lives. We need you to help us to overcome our weaknesses. We're just so grateful for the sacrifice that Jesus made. We're awed by the fact that he would lay aside his divinity and enter time and space and become God in the flesh, incarnate. So we just thank you, Father. We pray for your blessing upon us and our families and our friends as we take a little bit of time off in the coming days and just to regroup and re-energize. And we just thank you for all of the blessings that we have, dear God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.